on the first Sunday order of service found in the white service folder. We begin with the versicles and responses on page 2.
Old Testament lesson for this 19th Sunday after Pentecost comes from the 11th chapter of Numbers, reading from the 4th verse. The rabble with them began to crave all their food, and again the Israelites started wailing and said, "If only we had meat to eat. Remember the fish we ate in Egypt at no cost. also the cucumbers, melons, leeks, onions, and garlic. But now we have lost our appetite. We never see anything but this manna. Moses heard the people of every family wailing, each at the entrance to his tent. The Lord became exceedingly angry, and Moses was troubled. He asked the Lord, "Why have you brought this trouble on your servant? Why, what have I done to displease you that you put the burden of all these people on me? Did I conceive all these people? Did I give them birth? Why do you tell me to carry them in my arms as a nurse carries an infant to the land you promised on oath to our forefathers? Where can I get meat for all these people? They keep wailing to me, 'Give us meat to eat.' I cannot carry all these people by myself. The burden is too heavy for me. If this is how you are going to treat me, put me to death right now, if I have found favor in your eyes, and do not let me face my own ruin." The Lord said to Moses, "Bring me 70 of Israel's elders who are known to you as leaders and officials among the people. Have them come to the tent of meeting where they may stand there with you." So Moses went out and told the people what the Lord had said. He brought together 70 of their elders and had them stand around the tent. Then the Lord came down in a cloud and spoke with him, and he took of the spirit that was on him and put the spirit on the 70 elders. When the spirit rested on them, they prophesied, but they did not do so again. However, two men whose names were Eldad and Medad had remained in the camp. They were listed among the elders, but did not go out to the tent. Yet the spirit also rested on them, and they prophesied in the camp. A young man ran and told Moses, "Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp." Joshua, son of Nun, who had been Moses' aide since youth, spoke up and said, "Moses, my Lord, stop them." But Moses replied, "Are you jealous for my sake? I wish that all the Lord's people were prophets and that the Lord would put his spirit on them." Here ends the Old Testament lesson.
But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us.
The epistle lesson is from the fourth chapter of James, beginning at the seventh verse. "Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up. Brothers, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against his brother or judges him speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge the law, you are not keeping it, but sitting in judgment on it. There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and destroy. But you, who are you to judge your neighbor? Now listen, you who say, 'Today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money.' Why do you not know what will happen tomorrow? What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, 'If it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that.' As it is, you boast and brag. All such boasting is evil. Anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it sins. Now listen, you rich people, weep and wail because of your misery that is coming upon you. Your wealth is rotted and moths have eaten your clothes. Your gold and silver are corroded. Their corrosion will testify against you and eat your flesh like fire. You have hoarded wealth in the last days. Look, the wages you failed to pay the workers who mowed your fields are crying out against you. The cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord Almighty. You have lived on earth in luxury and self-indulgence. You have fattened yourselves in the day of slaughter. You have condemned and murdered innocent men who were not opposing you." Here ends the epistle lesson.
But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us. Please stand for the reading of the gospel. Thank you. The Holy Gospel is found in the Evangelist St. Mark, the 9th chapter, reading from the 38th verse. Teacher said, John, we saw a man driving out demons in your name, and we told him to stop because he was not one of us. Do not stop him, Jesus said. No one who does a miracle in my name can in the next moment say something bad about me, for whoever is not against us is for us. I tell you the truth, anyone who gives you a cup of water in my name because you belong to Christ will certainly not lose his reward. If anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to be thrown into the sea with a large millstone tied around his neck. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better for you to enter life maimed than with two hands to go into hell, where the fire never goes out. If your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than to have 2 feet and be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have 2 eyes and be thrown into hell, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. Everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can you make it salty again? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with each other. Here ends the gospel. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us.
We now confess our Christian faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed found on page 4 of your insert.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, the only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. And he sit from the right hand of God, the Father Almighty, from thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of sins, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Thank you.
If you like to cook or appreciate a good meal, seasoning is important to you. Regularly, you think or you say that has too much or too little salt. Disciples of Jesus are seasoned by word and sacraments, by sin, by life, by death, by devil. So what does a well-seasoned disciple taste like? Think you know where I'm going with this, don't you? I start with Star Trek Season 1, Episode 1, the original, and the salt vampire. Again, I was going to use that image for the bulletin cover, but it's just too scary. But scary, monstrous even, fits right into this text. Listen to Jesus. If anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to be thrown into the sea with a large millstone tied around his neck. There are two kinds of millstone, one turned by hand and another, much larger, turned by a donkey. Jesus says, rather than cause a child or perhaps a new believer to sin, that is, say, by not calling sin, sin, or by saying it's okay to sin, or by communing with those you know confess a different Jesus than you do, well, you'd be better off wearing cement overshoes. Think of it. Jesus gives you the picture of dying at the hands of mobsters, being drowned alive. Picture it. See the rope being tied around your neck. See several men throwing a huge millstone off the bridge, and you're dragged along, down, 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 alive into the depths till your lungs burst. Better that than failing to be salt. A salt vampire, then, is tame, a tame image in comparison. But Jesus doesn't stop there. He goes on to the image of cutting off your hand. And Aaron Ralston did that to free himself from a boulder. Then Jesus goes to amputating your foot, trapping muskrats. If you didn't check the trap soon enough, they'd gnaw off a leg rather than die in the trap. The images get more ghastly still. Plucking out your own eye. Why start talk of well-seasoned disciples with the stuff of horror movies, of sci-fi, of nightmares? To set these images over against the ones Jesus gives you of what you're trying to avoid by such drastic actions. Hell, the place where each person has their own worm devouring them, and it never dies. Look at Prometheus. There an eagle forever eats a part of his liver. Here is the word for the worm that feeds on dead bodies. Hell is that place where everyone has their own maggot, and where you are forever burning but never burned up. Talk about well-seasoned disciples starts with such grisly images because heaven and hell are at stake here. But in day-to-day life, it doesn't feel that way.
Your education, your income, your social status, your opinion of self, of sin, of salvation, that seem so important, count for nothing in matters of heaven and hell. Your relationship to Christ and the day-to-day mundane things of life, that determines everything. Things done literally upon the name of me are never forgotten, and they are always praiseworthy. Give a mere cup of water to someone in Jesus' name, and it's rewarded by Jesus, whom Jesus looks to protect, watch over, reward in this life, and with everlasting life, are all who believe in me. See me in that text in all caps and bold. Believe in the me who live day-to-day life in your shoes under the requirements God gave to mankind. Believe in me who live perfectly in your shoes, never sinning in thought, word, or deed. Believe in me who never failed to fear, love, and trust in God above all things. Believe in me who never gave in to lust, greed, envy, or hatred. And believe in me who, though a perfect man, was punished as the worst sinner ever. Believe in me, whom all of God's wrath poured out on. Believe in me, whom maggots devoured eternally and hellfire burned unmercifully till the punishments of God's holy law were completed, finished, and his anger put out. All who believe in me, says Jesus, enter life rather than a living death. So whatever the cost, pay it. Better to be one hand, foot, or eye in heaven than have two hands, feet, and eyes in hell. Nothing you have or can gain is worth losing heaven. Not even the whole world is. But the truth of the matter is people give up heaven for just a piece of the world all the time. For a few moments pleasure in life. To a lifetime living as they damn well please. People exchange that for eternal life all the time. You hear this text as a terrifying warning, so loud and scary that you hear nothing else. The Greek ways of expressing the things leading up to the millstone, the cutting, the maggots, and the flames are a warning, but they're also a redirection. The first phrase is kai os en, and that's a very broad warning. Whosoever, at any time, is a death trap, literally, for even one of these little ones, better a millstone for him. But then we come to the hand, the foot, or the eye being a death trap, and that's a contrary to fact conditional sentence. Jesus begins each with kai eon, if ever your hand, foot, or eye is a death trap, well, then cut it off. See, there's a rhyme and a cadence to the Greek. If ever is a death trap, cut it off. If ever is a death trap, cut it off. But the fact is, our hand, foot, or eye, they don't cause us to sin. They don't become death traps. We've all heard of people who thought they were being faithful to Jesus, and they followed this text literally. They thought by the outward act of obedience, of cutting off their hand, foot, or eye, they could avoid eternal maggots and flames. Such a misunderstanding was already there in the early church. Already in the fourth century, we read this. To follow literally the command would fail to hear its meaning, and Jesus' meaning is that the incentive should be cut off, not the members. If chicken isn't well seasoned, the remedy is not to remove a wing or a leg, is it? But by saying it the way he does, our Lord cuts through the clamor of this world and our ever craving and craven flesh that directs us away from things eternal to focus on the here and now. Listen to how John says it. All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eye and the boastful pride of biological life is not from God, but from the world. When what scripture regards as passing away things become forever things, there's a big problem. But the answer is not, this time I'm serious. I'm going to put eternal things first, and I mean it. You know, when anyone from friend to spouse to child to co-workers makes such vows and protestations like this, the one thing for sure is they're going to fail again. So once Jesus has your attention, once you see that heaven and hell are what is on the line, he plunges us into utter despair and so silences our vows to do better. He says, everyone's going to be salted with hellfire. What hope do I then have? This self-despair is good. It's always good to be left despairing of self, never good to be left despairing of God's grace in Christ. And Jesus doesn't leave us with the salt of hellfire licking at our feet. He leaves us with a promise. Here, Jesus saying, you do have salt in yourselves. Now, that's in accordance with the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus told his disciples, you are the salt of the earth. Not you might be, not you should be, not you could be, not you better be, but you are. You are salt by his word. He calls you brothers and sisters, and therefore you are. He declares you washed of your sins in baptism, and therefore you are. He pronounces you forgiven in absolution, and that's what you are. He calls this bread his body and that wine his blood, and that is what they are. And note, Jesus says, we have salt in ourselves, not just in a part of ourselves, not just in our hand, feet, or eyes, but in our entire person. You are salt, and salt does three things. It seasons, preserves, and cleanses. Christ making us salt means we're seasoned with forgiveness, life, and salvation. We have what the Catholics call the odor of sanctity about us. We smell of his forgiveness, his life, and his salvation. We taste like Christmas. We smell like Easter lilies. And we look like salt shakers. The salt Jesus has made us in ourselves pours out of us. And as it does, it preserves the world. Before refrigeration, the only way to preserve meat was to salt it. It stops the decay of death. That the world is dying, even scientists admit. Things are coming apart. They're becoming undone. Christians in the world, all over the world, just by being here, are slowing the decay. We pray every Sunday the Lord's Prayer. We say, as he told us to, always with the plurals. It's our Father, our daily bread. It's forgive us our sins. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. One reason for the old custom of ringing the church bell during the praying of the Lord's Prayer was to let the entire surrounding community know we're praying to God for grace and mercy for the whole community, not just those in this church building. In so doing, the world is preserved. You are salt in yourselves. You season, you preserve, and you cleanse the wounds of others. Jesus says you have salt in yourselves, and then comes a clear imperative. You must be at peace with each other. The imperatives of the law follow the indicatives of the gospel. Jesus says, be as you are. You are salt in yourselves, and one of the properties of salt is that it cleans. As we think God sees us, that's how we're going to see others. If we see God at war with us, God wrathful with us, God judging us and sending us to eternal maggots and flame, as he most certainly does outside of Christ, well, that's how we're going to see all others. But you have salt in yourself. Every part of you tastes like Jesus, has been preserved for eternal life, and been cleansed of all sins. So God sees you as we sing, redeemed, restored, forgiven. That's how we can see others in Christ. And that's the context here. An unnamed man casting out demons in Jesus' name was stopped by the disciples because he was not with the apostles. Nope, the issue is not who is with us or not. It's who's with Jesus. Salt is salt, you know. Insofar as anyone is in Christ, they are salt, and we are to be at peace with them. How many recipes say salt according to taste? Now, that's a very subjective standard. When it comes to our salting, be assured that Jesus does it by word and sacrament, and that he always does it just right. Amen. Now, the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We continue with the canticle on the bottom of page 4.
Thank you.
people remembering in our special prayers are listed in your bulletin. We remember particularly the family of Eric Rahut. He's the father of Christiana Gangaware. He did pass away Tuesday from COVID and was given Christian burial yesterday at St. Paul the Grove. And we have a prayer of thanks for Michael Huckleberry. That's Darcy's dad. He did have the stress test, and it came back as normal. So we have a prayer of thanks.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, grant health and prosperity to all that are in authority, especially to the President of Congress of the United States, the Governor and Legislator of Texas, and to all of our judges and local authority. Bestow on them grace to work after thy good pleasure, maintaining justice and hindering and punishing lawbreakers, so we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. Lord, in thy mercy. And as by thy word we are salt and light, so by the same word, both visible and invisible, may we be at peace with one another. Lord, in thy mercy. Most merciful Father, we pray for Eric's family. Let not the sting of death make them afraid, but may it lead them to the everlasting arms of the Good Shepherd and the comfort of the resurrection of the dead, the life everlasting, and the reunion of the world in the world without end. Lord, in thy mercy. We do thank thee for giving us the privilege to ask anything in Jesus' name. We're particularly thankful that thou did hear our prayers and petitions on behalf of Michael, and are confident that thou will continue to answer better than we pray. Lord, in thy mercy. In Jesus' name we pray. Your attention to communion statement in the bulletin. We often all in our celebration of Holy Communion this morning because of the sad division that exists in Christianity today. We can't invite all of you to the Lord's table. Many practices close communion, which means the communion active members of Trinity and those guests have been invited to communion prior to the service. If you are a guest and not spoken to me before, please do not come forward and receive communion. We continue now with the confession of sins using the Dei Profundis, which you'll find on the top of page 6, and all may kneel.
Oh,
It is truly meet, right, and salutary, and we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death in the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, same night which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped and when he had given thanks. He gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it. This cup, the New Testament, in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen. grace, Lord Jesus Christ, be with you and also with you. And eat with the true body of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and unto death for all your sins. And eat with the true body of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and unto death for all your sins. And eat with the true body of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and unto death for all your sins. Blood of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of all of our sins. Take drink of the true blood of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of all of our sins. Take drink of the true blood of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of all of our sins. Take drink of the true blood of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of all of our sins. Drink the true blood of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of all of your sins. And drink the blood of Christ, shed for your sins. The blood of Christ, shed for your sins. May this body and this blood strengthen and preserve you in the true faith, the life everlasting, the heart in peace.
I see. I do feel my rest. That makes sense.
I'm on vacation 10-5 to 10-19. Sign up for St. Crispin's Day Eve dinner October 21st, as I was October 24th. 3 p.m. happy hour, 3-ish, and the dinner at 5-ish.
And also on that Sunday, in place of Bible class, I'm going to show the video of the Yankee Stadium prayer service from 2001. Just a portion, it's condensed to an hour so you can see what took place there 20 years ago. And the floor art presentation will be October 31st, right after service. Thank you.